Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for once again being with us, knowing that you are here, for your prophet said that the pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium, and we know that we have not come to the millennium yet, so we know that you're still leading. And Father, therefore we have, thus saith the Lord, as he said, there's three exoduses, the pillar of fire led each and every one. There was a pillar of fire, a prophet on the scene, and the people came out and went into, and Father, we know we haven't quite come into, because we're actually waiting, Lord, for the second coming, for that of your Son, Jesus Christ, to meet him in the air. We know that the shout comes before the voice. We know that we're in the shout right now because the shout is a message. And Father, I thank you that you've opened up to us the understanding of what that shout is, because your prophecy is the greatest doctrine is the Godhead. And he said the first of all revelations is Alpha has become Omega. So Father, we thank you that we can look back at Alpha, see what took place in that hour, and we can look out and see the spirits moving among the people in this day, and we can see the same spirits moving, we can see the same forces, good and evil, we can see your force, Father, and we can see the force of Satan, the god of this evil age. We can see these warring factions for control of the people, control of the minds of the people. And Father, we just pray for your bride, wherever she would be, that you'd watch over and protect their mind, Father, and give them, Lord, that great assurance and knowing that they cannot be deceived, because you place within them a gene seed which can understand, and not only can understand, but will understand. Because you said that all that all my people shall be taught of God, and those that have learned shall come. And Lord, we believe that if we can learn, then there is a learning to be done. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to that learning. We commit ourselves to the education of your presence and your spirit among us, to show us exactly who you are, why you've come, and to show us the difference between these rightly dividing the word of truth, and even to the very joints of the marrow, between, you know, the thoughts and intents of the heart, and knowing that that great discerning spirit, the two-edged sword, cut just down to such fine line. And Lord, we realize that you've come in this hour to rightly divide your word and to place it in such a way that there's no mistaking about it. And so, Father, we thank you for these things, because we know that they're meant for our edification. They're meant for our glory. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to this glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I won't keep you real long tonight, but we're going to cover on the subject of twins. This is number 5, I think, in the subsection called identification or identifiable characteristics. And what I'd like to begin with tonight is one scripture, Acts chapter 13, and reading from verse 48, and you should all know that scripture by heart, or from your heart, you should know it. And we read, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Now that's a tremendous statement. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That ought to throw you in rest. That ought to help you to understand that, look, if I've been ordained by God, I can't help but to believe. God made me in such a way that I do believe. And I do believe with all my heart that you sitting here tonight are true believers. Now, from harvest time, Brother Branson, now reverently I say this with godly love. And may the great Father who I've just told you in the beginning was present here, omnipresent, if I say this through prejudice, then he'll judge me. If I say it through truth, he'll bless me. And he'll let you see it if you're ordained to life. So Brother Branham is letting us know that if you're ordained to life, you'll see it. Well, then what's the counterpart of that? Huh? Anybody tell me? If you're not ordained to life, you won't see it, no matter how hard you try. I've known brothers for years and years. They can quote the quotes. They can say the same words even. As Brother Vail said to me years ago, he said, they've got it, but they don't got it. They've got it, but they don't got it. Judas knew the word. Judas went out, had miracles. Satan came and quoted the very word. And so you have a lot of people, they want to fuss and fight and do and everything else. I've had people call me or write to me from Arizona and different places, and they just want to fuss. They just want to fuss. They say, well, of all the 300, 400 quotes you use, why didn't you use this quote? And I said, well, brother, because that quote would cause confusion. That's why I didn't use it. I said, there's about 3,000 or 4,000 quotes. I said, I don't have the time nor the energies to put them all in. Well, Brother Branham said that God died on the cross. And I said, brother, I can show you a half a dozen scriptures and quotes that tell you that God left Jesus in Gethsemane. And if God left Jesus in Gethsemane and he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? One man says, well, he said, there's no scripture. He said, for Brother Branham, he said, there's no, Brother Branham said that the Holy Spirit left him in Gethsemane. He said, there's no scripture for it. I said, absolutely there is. I said, when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That word forsaken means to abandon. Now, if he was abandoned by God, then the Holy Spirit left him. Unless you got a Holy Spirit that's different from God, now you're back to Trinity again. See? From leadership, Brother Branham said, now, you're ordained to life. You see it if you're ordained to see it. If you're not ordained to see it, you won't see it. He said, they have eyes, but they cannot see, ears and can't hear. How thankful you should be, church. How you should straighten yourself up from these things. How you should be on fire for God. That your eyes beholds what you see and your ears hears the things that you see. Leadership. Why did you come here tonight to hear a message like this? I'm branded across the world by the churches as a fanatic. Why did you come? The Holy Spirit led you here, see, to listen. Circumcise, cut away your things of the world, accept the leadership of Jesus Christ, or you'll perish as sure as the world. Well, that was right before he went off the scene. He said, you'll see it if you're ordained to see it, and if you're not ordained to see it, you won't see it. Well, where did Brother Branham get that from? Did he just make that up? Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is telling parables. Can anybody tell me what a parable is? What's a parable? Christina, what's a parable? It's a story. Who do you know that was a prophet of God that told stories? Brother Branham. Now, what's the purpose of a story? What does Jesus say the purpose of the story is? It's to open the eyes of one. It's to blind the eyes of others. Let's read it. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak unto them in parables? Notice, not to us. Why do you speak to them in stories? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, those others, it's not given. For whosoever hath, and that word hath is a Greek word echo. If you've got a pen, write that over that word. It's a Greek word echo. Now what's an echo? Roger, what is an echo? Okay, not just one time, right?
No, over and over.
Over and over and over again. Notice, and to whosoever echoes, whosoever is made in such a way as to be able to reflect or echo, to him shall be given. And notice, and he shall have more abundance. Why? Because you not only get that word once, you get it twice, and three times, and four times, and five times, and it keeps going over and over and over and over. Now, how do you get an echo? By whispering? It comes by what? A shout. And the Lord descended with a shout. And notice he predestinated certain vessels to be able to reflect or echo his word that they might have more abundance. You see? Now notice, for whosoever hath, whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, cannot echo, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, actually see not. And hearing, they actually hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men, rightly wise men, have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. What about this people that seem to be blinded to the word? What is it? What would cause them to be blinded to the word? Well, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And reading from verse 1. Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, now that word actually means veiled. If our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to them that are lost. It is hidden to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, this age, this evil age, the God of this evil age, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not the truth, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, how then does the devil blind? By taking the light, and bringing a twist. Notice, how does Satan do this? In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, would to God that you bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin, not just a virgin, but a chastened virgin to Christ. But my fear is this, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve, seduced Eve, through his subtlety, so your minds should be blinded. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not heard or not accepted, you might well bear with him. The Lamza says you put up with it so easily. You put up with it so easily. For if he cometh, he that cometh, preaches another Jesus. Now that word another is a Greek word heteros. Can anybody tell me what heteros means, as in heterosexual? What does the word heteros mean? Roger, you want to take a stab at that? Heteros. Yeah, the word heteros. You know, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking of, it's speaking of two. But the word heteros, actually, see, there's a Greek word, allos, which means another. And we'll find that in Galatians chapter 1. But there's also, this word is heteros, and it means of a different nature. Of a different nature. So we read here then, for if he that cometh preaches a Jesus of a different nature, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a spirit of a different nature, which we have not received, or a different gospel, why do you put up with it? Hold your finger there and let's go over to Galatians chapter 1. Paul says, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. That's heteros. One of a different nature, which is not an allos, which is not a different one altogether, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So Paul says it's actually the same gospel with a twist. It's the same words with a twist. That's why I say when they say, well, Brother Branham said this, I'll say like Jesus. And he also said. He also said. They called to argue and I said, look, I don't care to argue. You believe what you want to believe. You're entitled to believe what you want to believe. I'll see you at the white throne. That's just that simple. I'll have to answer for what I believe. You'll have to answer for what you believe. But we see here, Paul says they bring in the same gospel, they put a little zing to it, a little twist. In Moses' day, they want to go back to Egypt. Brother Brown said Egypt was a type of the church, also a type of the worldly church. Paul's day, they wanted to go back to legalism, Judaism. In Acts chapter 15, he says that there's men who were of a certain sect of the Pharisees, which were believers. In other words, they were denominational in spirit, right there in the message. Yeah, how could they be the sect of the Pharisees and yet be believers? I thought the message calls us to repent. Change the thinking. Change the mind. Come out of that stuff. As it was under the pillar of fire the first time, under Moses' ministry, they want to go back to Egypt. Under the pillar of fire, under Paul's ministry, they want to go back to what they came out of. Under William Branham's ministry, they want to go back to Pentecost. Brother Branham said, this is a million miles beyond Pentecost. Why is it then? The scripture says, train up a child in the way he goes, and when he gets old, he'll not depart. When push comes to shove, they go back to the way they were trained. That's why, brother, sister, if you were raised in Pentecost, flee it. If you're raised in denomination, flee it. The person that has the best chance in this message is a rank heathen coming in. Or a Catholic, which is the same thing. Coming into this message. Because they'll not hold. What do they have to hold to? You see? Now, Brother Brown said from in his presence, he said, so we're not ordained to do nothing but to stay with the Word. And if a man is sent of God, he'll stay with the Word because God can only stand by His Word. See? See, he must stay by His Word. Then when we come into His presence, when a man once comes into the presence of God, he's changed forever, if there's any changing to him. Now, there are those who could walk in the presence of God and pay no attention to it. Oh, that Perusia stuff. That garbage. That's what they say. That puke doctrine. I've heard that as well. He says he wasn't ordained to life. Let me read it again. Now, there are those who could walk in the presence of God and pay no attention to it. He wasn't ordained to life. But if he was predestinated of God, as soon as that first move hits, he knows it, that catches fire. Why do you think the world is like a... right now, it's like a big grass fire spreading over South America, spreading over Africa, spreading over the Philippines because the people finally have their eyes open to what the message is all about. My ministry is to declare that He is here. Actually, my ministry is to declare Him that He is here. Two things. Him, Godhead, and that he's here. Not the Lamb, brother, sister. The Lamb has not come yet. We go to meet the Lamb. He doesn't come. We go to meet him. See? And so we see in Matthew 13 that the people are ordained to either see it or they're not ordained to see it. In 2 Corinthians 4, we see, in fact, let's go back to 2 Corinthians again. Notice Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, if it's veiled, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face, in the presence. That word is actually presence. In the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, how could he blind? Go to chapter 11. And let's go to verse 13 and 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The word Lucifer means light bearer. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of right wiseness, whose end shall be according to their works. The word righteousness actually is an old English word, and it means right wiseness. If you're rightly wise, you are righteous, because you have a right understanding, a right revelation. And if you have a right thought, you do right things. You sow the right things, you reap the right things. But now going back to, remember in verse 4, Paul said, why do you put up with it so easily? He says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. These super duper apostles. That's the emphasized Bible. But though I be rude in speech. Yeah, Paul was rude in speech. He said words that a lot of people didn't like. He did. Paul said, I had to forget all that I ever learned, consider it as dung. Now, I won't use the modern day vernacular of dung, but you know what I'm talking about. Paul says, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Then he goes down and says, for such are false apostles, these super duper guys. They're false apostles, deceitful workers, because they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, when actually they're servants of the devil, because they're actually, as the scripture says, they hold down the truth in unrighteousness. We find in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll pick up at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God. How? Through the ignorance that is in them. How and why? Because of the blindness of their heart. And Brother Brown said, when you see the word heart in the scripture, it refers to understanding always, he said. The heart always refers to understanding. So we read it this way. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their understanding. Why? Because they're not ordained to see it. Who being past feeling, given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. Notice, there is a way then which you are to learn Christ, and a way which you are not to learn Christ. And Paul makes it very, and he's very emphatic about that. Now, if we go back to Mark chapter 4, taking the same parable, because our text this evening was from Acts 13 and 48, that everyone who was ordained to life believed. And we find in Mark chapter 4, in reading verse 10 through verse 12, and when he was alone, they that were about with him, the 12, they asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. How many remember when you were in school? Maybe your younger children wouldn't understand this yet, but about the age of ninth grade, you start reading short stories, long stories, you start reading novels and things like that. How many ever read The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway? Anybody in here? You didn't? I did. Okay. Michael? There's a lot of allegories in that story. I remember as a 10th grader, we had to write our thoughts of what the story meant. And of course, you had 30 kids in the classroom and you had 30 different ideas. But I picked up 40 things in that story that were types of Christianity. You had the fish, you had just the whole thing. I don't even remember the story anymore, but he was a man that was pulled out to the sea. It reminded me of the story of Jonah a little bit. But you get out of it what you're looking for it. I remember Brother Jack Bell's church years and years, about 1981, I believe it was. And they were a little bit Pentecostal in those days. They're coming out of, just people. Well, most everybody in the message was a little bit Pentecostal in those days. And sisters were sitting there, and the rain was coming down, and they had a screen on the door there, and they were in a black neighborhood, and the women across the street saw this face beginning to form on the screen, and they started screaming and shouting, jumping up and down, because they thought it was Martin Luther King. On the inside of church, the Pentecostal sisters that were in the inside of church, they saw the face, and to them it was Jesus. I think, or was it William Branham? I can't remember. It was one of those. It was Jesus, I think it was. Yeah, they saw Jesus. You see, you get what you're looking for. You remember the story I mentioned about putting the little cover over the lamp. Be careful how you hear. Because you're going to get out of everything Brother Branham says if you're Pentecostal. You got a Pentecostal mindset. If you're looking through Pentecostal glasses, you're going to get a Pentecostal message. If you're a Baptist and never have been converted from being a Baptist, you're going to see a Baptist message. If you're oneness, you're going to see a oneness message. And that's exactly what people get out of, is what they put into it. Brother Rand said so. You get out of it what you put into it. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. But notice Jesus said, look, there's a purpose here. The reason why I use stories, it's because they're not supposed to get it. It's not meant for them. It's meant for you. See? In Luke chapter 8, in verse 10 and 11, And he said unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Time and time and time and time again. Revelation 3. The people are what? Blind. Naked. Don't even know it. From the trumpet gives an uncertain sound. Brother Brown said, now a real sheep will say, oh, ho, ho. No, something squeaks in that. That didn't sound right. Oh, that must have been a French harp. That wasn't a trumpet. Because the Bible gives no uncertain sound. It says, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, not you might, but you will, everyone. How long? To your children and your children's children and them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He'll sound the trumpet in every race and every generation, and they'll hear His voice, they'll believe it, those that's ordained to life. Amen. They'll believe it because they know it's the gospel trumpet sounding. It's not an uncertain. Every soldier knows how to stand. And yet we find in the book of Isaiah 29, and reading from verse 9 through verse 14, stay to yourselves and wonder, cry you out and cry, they are drunken but not with wine, they stagger but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets, and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. You know, they're still saying the same thing in this message. The seventh seal is not open yet, they say. Brother Branham said, all seven are open. You see, they don't even understand the way that the seal was made. Brother Branham said, the seal was not a book like this. He said, I used to think it was, and there were seven seals on the back side, but he said, that's wrong. He said the seal was a scroll. And it was the seven seals were all scrolled up together. And there were seven seals across. And when you flipped the first one, you could unfold the first one. And as you flip the second, and brother, sister, if it's not open, you cannot know what that is. And Brother Branham said the seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. So Brother Branham does say that all seven were open. All seven were preached. Now, it may not be understood by the public, and it's not open to the public, because Brother Branham said that seventh seal also was a third pole. He said it's not for a public show. It's to the elect, for the elect. See? Now, but notice we read on, and the vision of all has become as unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Men will deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Notice, who's going to do it? God. Brother Brown said when God called for a conference, he didn't send an angel. He came himself. See? Even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, he had no understanding? Even to the point where they've said in the Baptist theological centers, they said, how many people believe that God understands nuclear physics? And I think like 20 or 30% of them said he didn't. Might have been a higher percentage than that, because it's been years ago since I remember reading that. He who fashioned the universe doesn't understand how he did it. Well, what is this thing that he's saying? He says, if they don't understand, if it's a sealed book to them, then something's going to happen. Let's see what it says. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart, their understanding, far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. The NIV puts it this way, and their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Well, we'll go back to Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Now the Amplified, the NIV, and several other versions say, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand the message? Well, when I first saw that, that just jumped out at me. Huh. Who has he taught to understand the message? He says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? Question mark? I doubt it. I doubt it. Not babies. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, a here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, a Kentucky tongue, will I speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now listen to this. Brother Branham said from the message, Christ's Mystery of God Revealed. He said the rest comes from keeping the Spirit of God. Precept upon precept and line upon line, here a little, there a little, and holding fast to that which is good. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, and that is the rest, that is the refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. This day, this scripture is fulfilled before you. That's what he's saying. Now, notice then, this is the rest where you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And remember, the scripture says the refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. And yet they would not hear. This is the rest. This is the relaxation. Brother Branham knocks. Seven times when he said that seven seals open, he said it's relaxation time. Why? Because brother and sister were sitting under vindication. You don't have to put your thoughts to it. Either he said it or he didn't. Either God manifested his word by bringing it to pass, or God did not interpret his word to us. Who came down? Some little cloud? Is that what it is to us? Or is that the supreme judge that Brother Brown talks about? This picture here. Is that a picture of Brother Brown? Or is that a picture of God allowing his picture to be taken with his prophet? Who's above and who's below? Who's the servant of whom? The prophet surely isn't in the preeminent position. His God above, the prophet below. You see? For the word of the Lord shall become unto them dew and dew. Dew and dew, that's the NIV, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, that they might go and fall backwards, go back into Pentecost, and be broken, snared, and taken. They go to legalism every time. Rules. Conduct, order, doctrine. Rule. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Years ago, I was under that influence in Minneapolis. I think it might have even been on our honeymoon. I was measuring the heels of my wife's shoes. Threw a pair out the window. I've grown a long way since then. Legalism. Legalism. Legalism, Brother Brown said, the church will choose law over grace every time. Legalism. You see, if the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. And he that is born of God does not disbelieve. Because his seed remaineth in you. You can't disbelieve. You might stumble, yes. In the flesh you might make mistakes, absolutely. As long as, Brother Brown said, as long as you're in the body of this death, as Paul said the same thing, as long as you're in this cockabur body, is what Brother Brown said, Paul called it the body of this death. Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death, but I thank God through Jesus Christ, who giveth me the victory. I didn't get it. I didn't earn it. It was given to me. When? On Calvary. On Calvary. We turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Reading verse 1 to 3. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Notice, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, not on the people, but upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. And we find in 2 Thessalonians the fulfillment of the scripture, chapter 1. Let's read from verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, that your revelation groweth exceedingly, and that your love of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the church of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a rightly wise thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Has the Lord Jesus been revealed from heaven with his mighty angels? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Then we should be at rest. Now notice, in flaming fire he takes vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They will not have the presence, they will not have the glory. But notice verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And didn't Brother Ann say, I just preach what Paul preached? There's your scripture for it. When our testimony will be believed in that day, notice what happens. This is the hour when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. And the glory of the Lord shall be risen upon thee. Arise and shine, for thy light has come. Thy light has come. The very mind, that word doxa, is the word glory, is the word doxa. It means the very opinion, the very assessment, the very judgment of God. The very mind of God. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. God has come down to give us his mind, that we might receive his mind, that we might not be deceived. From watching his star, Brother Brown said, and for myself, I'm expecting something to happen. It is written, when the people that are called by my name shall assemble themselves together and pray, then I will hear from heaven. And I've been praying today, and I know that others have been praying, and I'm expecting something to happen. There may be things happen, will go right over the head of people. Many who are not ordained to life will never be able to see it. When Jesus came, there was tens of thousands, yes, millions looking for him to come, and he just revealed himself to a little handful. See, it's those who are looking for something, those who have a pulsation in their heart, beating, waiting, longing for something to happen. It's those who believe it'll happen, and it's waiting for the event. That's who Jesus will come for those who love his appearing. If you love somebody or anybody, and you're expecting them to appear, you're making every preparation for it. That's the way the church should be tonight, making every preparation for the coming of the Lord, watching every signpost, and when you see God doing something, rejoice, because it's pointing to his coming, and we're down to about the last signpost now, that he could appear before morning. John chapter 1. We read from verse 4 to 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought, that they are done, notice, in, having their source in God. Let's go over to 2 John real quick. Or 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Notice, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. Now, John is using common sense here. He says, look, let's read the next verse. But you have an unction. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And what is that anointing? You know all things. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 10. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 10. That anointing. It's also 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Now, notice then, you have an understanding because you've received an anointing. These others don't have an understanding because they haven't received that anointing. Therefore, don't be surprised if they're not with you anymore. They weren't, and I'm not saying this about any people, please. I'm just saying this in general. It's evident. Birds of a feather flock together. Eagles with eagles, buzzards with buzzards, crows with crows. You see? He says, you have an unction, therefore you stick together like glue. They don't have an unction, therefore they can't stick together like glue. You see? John is simply laying it out in a common sense approach. Now, from the Queen of Sheba, Brother Vance said, Jesus had been upbraiding the people, and because that they had misunderstood his message, and they was trying to make it out something that it wasn't. He had been in their cities and had been performing miracles and showing his messiah sign to the people, as we talked of last night, and we find that those who were ordained to life saw it. Those who were not ordained to life did not see it. The gospel blinds those who are not willing to accept it, and it'll give sight to those who are willing to accept it. And that's the way it was in his days, when the scripture plainly stated exactly the things that he did and said he would do, and how they missed it. It showed that they had to be blinded. From we would see Jesus. God was in him. He said, it's not me, it's my Father that dwells in me. The Son was a man. God was a spirit that was in him. And it was a spirit speaking out of him. Now, see what he done to them, Jews. When he met them, them were ordained to life, recognized it. Don't miss it, church. Those that were ordained to life recognized it and believed it. But those who did not believe it was turned away to perdition. Did not Jesus say to those holy men who know the scripture from A to Z, or claim to, he said, you're of your father the devil? That's exactly right. Now, that's pretty tough preaching there. That'll separate a lot, you see. From meanest man in Santa Maria, Brother Vance said, and you all know all at once, her eyes caught a sight. There's something about him, I don't know. If your eyes ever catch a glimpse of him, you know it. And that is if you're ordained to life. Yes, otherwise you can look right across from him and never pay no attention to it. But if you've been ordained to life, the first view, he's different. What good does the presence do for those who don't know it or those who reject it? When the refreshing comes from what? The presence of the Lord. Fullness of joy comes from the presence of the Lord. Can you have then refreshing without it? Nope. Can you have fullness of joy without it? Nope. Or you can go to a ball game, jump, holler, scream, and everything else. You call that joy, but it's gone as soon as you walk out and you realize that you paid $30 for that ticket. Or your team didn't win. You can jump and holler and hoot and everything else sitting in church. But let's see what it does for you during the week. From behold, a greater than all is here. Even greater than Solomon. Behold, a greater than all is here. He preached this in 1962. He said, but you know, when John come to prepare a church for Jesus, there wasn't one millionth of a people ever heard him. And when Jesus was on earth, there wasn't 100,000 of the people ever saw him or heard him. But he come to those who were ordained to life, and they received it. And the ones that he did, he only give 120 out of them, see? There's just the number of people that's going to receive it, and when that's it, that's it. The rest of them, you might pour water on it and all kinds of things, it'll never bring.
And the truth, it'll never bring the truth forward. It'll never believe it, see? It'll just keep on going, because there's nothing in it to believe it with. As my southern mother used to say, you can't get blood out of a turnip because there is none in it. From the world falling apart, Brother Branham said, the same thing has arrived. And men won't believe. People won't believe. Churches won't believe. No wonder. You can't be disappointed in it because the Bible said that they wouldn't do it. But it's you individuals, you that's ordained to life. Look upon the fields now and see what hour that we're living. Come to life. Let the life that was in Christ come in you, the mind. There you go. We've been teaching that for years. You said, oh, I think this. You ain't got no thought coming. You let the thought that was in Christ be in you, and that's the word. That's right. Think the thoughts that He thought. There's your doxa. When Jesus came and called, He said, now, we find out that all this Jesus had declared, and just a few, just those whom He had ordained to life saw Him. It's not great crowds. His crowds could nothing be like Caiaphas's crowd. Why, Caiaphas couldn't, he could have called the whole nation together. Jesus called just a few together. Not many knew Him. Thousands times thousands when He come on earth. He went through the earth, and they never ever knowed that He was here. So will it be again. He'll come to those who are called to life. He knows who's called to life. And it's not His business to take care of that. It's His business to take care of that. In other words, He'll come and reveal Himself only to those He's ordained in life. From the voice of the sign, He said, then He turned to the disciples and He said, you want to go too? See, they couldn't go. They had seen something. They know the Scripture and they know what that it was. They couldn't explain what He was talking about, but yet they believed it anyhow. They never asked no questions. It never bothered them. They believed because it was a vindication of the Scripture. You believe that? Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life, and they've seen it. They know that that he was what He was supposed to do. No matter, we can't explain it, see? They were ordained to life before the foundations of the world. When that light struck it, they knew it. There's nothing going to move them from it. No matter, and looked like the Pharisees had him pinned in one side and the other, and it didn't bother them disciples. They went right straight on anyhow because they believed it. His voice spoke them. From God identified by His characteristics, He said, the whole thing is the great eternal. Eternity never did begin, never can end. Therefore, in His great eternal one attribute to be Father, to be Son, to be Savior, to be Healer, and all these things was in Him, and only thing that's happening now is displaying His attributes, that's all. Now, our names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world. And when the word strikes that, if it's any light there that's been ordained to life, Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him, and all that the Father has given me will come. So you see, it's the Word, constantly, the Word. From the voice of the sign, He said, now, I know when He was here on earth, God was in Him, and He was God. He was the fullness of God. He was all the Word of God made manifest in the Bible is still God, the Word, and there's some of the revelation yet to be revealed. And He said, in the last days when the world becomes like Sodom again, the Son of Man will be revealed and the sign of Sodom will be returned. Then the voice will call back the people, those who are ordained to life. We know when He was here, there were millions of people on the earth that never knew that He was here. No reason to know. He come to those who were predestinated to see it. Shouldn't we get this message out to the whole world to see? There's no reason for them to see. There's no reason for them to see. He came for an elect group. From the seal of God. Now, close now, listen, so that you'll be sure to remember. I'm not condemning Catholic people. I'm not condemning Protestant people, for out of both and all of them comes the seed of God by election. Those who are ordained to life will see it and walk in it. Those who cannot see, they walk in darkness. That's up to God. God does it. He swore and promised Abraham that He would save him and his seed. Now, if you got Abraham's seed, you got eternal life. That's all. And you're heirs according to promise, and it's all by the grace and by election of God. And from where is He King of the Jews? He said, and oh, He is so good. He will catch the attention of every person that He's ordained to life, maybe in their own ways of worship, but He's God, and He knows the hearts of men, and He watches them, and He protects them, and He brings them to a place. And when the deep calls to the deep, there has got to be a deep to respond to that call. If a man is thirsting for something, it shows that there's something out there to respond to quench that thirst. I think we have, by many evidences of Scripture and quotations tonight, I hope, a very plain understanding that, brother, sister, if you're not ordained to see it, you never will. You could study it. You could memorize every verse of Scripture. You could memorize every quote Brother Bam ever said about any subject. You can have the computers going 24 hours a day. It'll never do you a lick of good. If you're not ordained to see it, you never will. God, His presence, is here among the people. And if you're not ordained to see the one who's come, you'll never see it. You'll still be trying to look for a man with nail prints in his hands. Brother Bam said, that's not for this hour. Not for this hour. And He only came for those who will see it. The elect. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for Your word. And Father, more than anything else, we want to thank You for Your election. Thank You for opening our eyes, Father, that we do see, and our ears that we do hear. And I pray, Father, that You'd help us, Lord, to allow us by Your grace to reflect it in a way which will catch that seed wherever it would be. And help us to have the balance to rest in it. This is not the day of Wesley. This is not the day of circling the globe looking for proselytes. Nope, nope, nope. This is the day that the light has come. Rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we pray, Lord, that You would help us always to walk with balance. If there are needy calling out, help us to be willing to go to help. But let us not be out running without a message. We see the problem that we have throughout the entire world is that men ran without a message. They got there, and all they could say is, hey, somebody else has a message. God sent a prophet. Yeah, He taught us about serpent seed and water baptism. And yet Paul said, let us lay aside baptism, and the laying on of hands, and eternal judgment, and all these things. Let's go on to perfection. Let's go on to what the message is really all about. God, You have come. You have descended with a shout. May we shout that shout. May we echo that shout from the rooftops. That You have come to gather together Your elect. To protect us from the great deception. To bring healing. To bring a healing that comes to the place, not just in the body, but until the body comes back to its rightful layout. To the body receives its change, to wit, the redemption of the body. Father, You've come for so many reasons. May we recognize it, and may we walk in it. For we ask it in Jesus' name, Thy beloved Son. Amen. I won't keep you any longer.